Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. 15 men and boys between the ages of 15 and 72 were taken out of their homes and shot in the West Texas desert on January 28, 1918. A group of Texas Rangers, Army cavalrymen, and area ranchers targeted ethnic Mexicans, any ethnic Mexican, in retaliation for a deadly Christmas Day raid on a ranch the month before. The massacre at Porvenir has gained attention over the last century as the history of violence against ethnic Mexicans in Texas in the early 20th century has come to light. It took a century before a historical marker acknowledged what happened in the now abandoned Texas border village of Porvenir. But now another tragedy at Porvenir is happening before our eyes. Construction crews under contract to build border wall infrastructure are bulldozing parts of the desert just yards from where 15 men and boys were shot almost to pieces, yards from where archaeologists have recently uncovered important evidence of the Army's involvement in the massacre. We're talking about this today with historian Monica Munoz Martinez, author of The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas, and with a descendant of one of the Porvenir massacre victims, Elsie Garcia. Martinez gives us a broader context of where this massacre at Porvenir stands in this undertold chapter of Texas history.
The atrocity itself was so damning that it drew the attention of the Mexican government and state legislators to really shine a light on a long culture of impunity that was enjoyed between 1910 and 1920 during a period that was locally referred to as La Matanza, a period of anti-Mexican violence that was state-sanctioned and resulted in hundreds, if not thousands, of people being murdered. And the period itself has been forgotten by some, but for people who are related to descendants of some of the victims, they have been calling for public acknowledgement and commemoration of this period. But the Porvenir massacre itself was an event that prompted an investigation by the Texas legislature. It helped Representative J.T. Canales get a House Bill 5 passed, which called for the state legislature to have an investigation into the Texas Rangers for their role in this period of violence and their role in the Porvenir massacre. And although it didn't end violence in Texas, the massacre itself and then the investigation into the Texas Rangers preceded what historians have described as the Red Summer, a summer of extreme racial violence in 1919. But the Porvenir massacre helped to expose that culture of impunity that was enjoyed by law enforcement and vigilantes. It helped for calls for accountability, and it also helped to expose the work of law enforcement and state officials to cover up, try to justify violence, and expose false accounts of these tragedies. I mean, it's important to remember that the investigation itself received a lot of attention. And so journalists, for example, transcribed the testimonies. This took place in Austin at the state capitol for over 2.5 weeks. And so it drew intense attention, and there was a backlash. So as many people testified about Texas Ranger abuses, there were people testifying in support of the Texas Rangers and their violence. And so it really was this contest between witnesses to convince the legislators, but also the public about the violence, the injustices, and what proper remedies would be. And unfortunately, the committee released a report that found that Texas Rangers had been committing violations of people's civil rights, and they called for reforms of the Texas Rangers, but they did not call for prosecutions. And so, again, people, rangers with these bloody records, did not face accountability. Now, the investigation itself was made available to one historian, Walter Prescott Webb, who used the records to write about the Texas Rangers in his really iconic book of the Texas Rangers. And that account, like others that followed, really justified, downplayed these acts of violence, and promoted the Texas Rangers as heroes of progress. And so that historical narrative, that mythic portrayal of the Rangers, then circulated in Hollywood, in movies, in novels. And that lasted for, some would say well over a century. Although historians and academics, people like Américo Paredes, tried to challenge those depictions, especially of this violence, it was longstanding. And it wasn't until historians returned to these records in the state archives, utilized them for their writings. It's been about half a century of academic writings that have, returned to this, to retelling this history of state-sanctioned racial violence, but still changing public perception and educating the public about this period is ongoing.
And what is really interesting is this history, as of late, was hidden from the actual descendants of those who experienced the massacre at Porvenir. And so, Elsie Garcia, you are one of those descendants. And it was really fascinating to hear how the story of your ancestor came up. He was 95 years old before he started talking to your mother about what he saw and what he experienced. So backtrack a little bit and tell us this story of how your family came to be aware of the massacre at Porvenir.
My grandfather was around 95, 96 when he started opening up about the Porvenir massacre. It began with my mom at a very, very young age wanting to know her family history. I remember her always asking questions about her father. Her mother one day told her it was very difficult for grandpa to talk about his family. So that's how they left things. As she got older, she was excited to build her family tree. It was like a big thing in the early 90s. The internet was coming out and people were able to research their family history. Then she came across a book called Pancho Villa Days at Pilares by Josie Means. And in that book, she came across a family. And that family looked very familiar to her family tree. She needed to verify with her father. So she drove to Odessa, Texas, where he lived. And she sat down with him and asked him, is this your family? And he said, yes. And in that book, she discovered that her grandfather was murdered in 1918, which is known as the Porvenir Massacre. And she wanted to know more about this history. And she spent the rest of her life, we're talking about decades, searching for answers. And she sat down with her father, and this was a long process. And she traveled to Odessa many times to interview him. And we have videos. She has cassette recordings and sitting down asking him many questions. And he also had a very sharp mind. He remembered everything. It was like my mother was watching a movie. That's how detailed he remembered the massacre, the night that his father was murdered.
And we need to point out that your grandfather was only 11 when he witnessed these killings and its aftermath. So it's really kind of understandable why he and, other survivors of trauma don't talk about it. But this, unearthing of history really put your mother on a path again to maybe find justice, which is still a long time coming, but just to raise awareness. And I understand that. I believe your family even looked for other descendants of the victims of this massacre, and they had no idea what had happened just, you know, a few generations before. So maybe can you talk a little bit about, you know, your mother's tenacity and really trying to make people aware of what happened and bringing a broader number of people into her circle?
Yes, it was very important for her to reach out to many descendants as possible to see what they knew. She was trying to collect information. What she learned from interviewing these families, all they knew was the massacre. All they knew is that they were murdered. And that was the story that got passed on from generation to generation. There was no justice, and they didn't know about the court hearings. They did file a case with the Supreme Court. They weren't aware of that. My mother discovered so much information, and she realized the families weren't aware of how much their ancestors were trying to obtain justice during that time period. I think that's important to know, because that never got passed down. That was overshadowed. All that got passed down was that they were murdered.
Elsie Garcia is the great-granddaughter of Longino Flores, one of the 15 men and boys killed by Texas Rangers, Army cavalry members, and area ranchers on January 28, 1918, in the border village of Porvenir. Monica Munoz Martinez is a historian of Texas history, U.S. history, and the history of race and civil rights. She's the author of The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas. When we come back, the threat of a border wall cutting through Porvenir has shaken historians and family members alike.
And for the descendants of Porvenir, it's a difficult trip to make to the site or to see Porvenir, but they can do that. And if this construction continues, that would be taken away.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
The impact of trusted journalism extends far beyond today's headlines. By including Texas Public Radio in your will or estate plans, you can help ensure future generations remain informed, connected, and engaged through the power of public media. In recognition of Make-A-Will Month this August, consider creating a legacy that supports the independent reporting, meaningful conversations, and community storytelling that South Central Texas relies on. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Texas Monthly recently published the article, Trump's Border Wall Construction is Set to Bulldoze a West Texas Historic Site, by Peter Hawley. The cover photo in the article shows a bulldozer approximately 30 yards from the Porvenir massacre site in Presidio County. The site is still being researched by archaeologists who recently uncovered evidence of the Army's involvement in the unjustified killings of 15 ethnic Mexican men and boys in 1918. The village of Porvenir no longer exists. Its residents abandoned it in fear shortly after the massacre. But the site of the murders is sacred to the descendants of the victims. Hawley says in the article that a smart wall map by U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows a 30-foot steel barrier would cut off access to the site. We're talking today with Elsie Garcia, great-granddaughter of Longino Flores, one of the victims of the massacre, and with historian and author Monica Munoz Martinez. Martinez further explains the significance of what's still considered a century-old crime scene under threat of destruction.
It's significant for these descendants, but it's historically significant for Texans and for Americans, from anybody from in North America, the region, because not only is it a history that is contested, that some people continue to cast doubt on, it occurred after the massacre, that law enforcement tried to justify it, profiled the victims as criminals and as squatters, and that was circulated in the press. to Elsie's point about the family's efforts for justice, there was a grand jury hearing in Presidio County, but they did not indict Captain Fox or any of the Texas Rangers. And although the company was disbanded, many of those Rangers went on to have long careers in law enforcement, and some, including Captain Fox, rejoined the Texas Rangers. But the families pursued justice through an international tribunal. And so if we think about the context for these families pursuing justice, working with the Mexican government to try to seek a financial indemnity, for example. There being State Department investigations, military investigations. They pursued justice for decades, and there were no prosecutions. So if we think about Elsie's grandfather in that context, and the kind of fear that he lived with, some of the people who participated were walking around with Colt 44 revolvers. And so, again, just to speak about the importance of the family's commitment to pursuing justice across generations and how it shaped their families for generations. But I just wanted to emphasize some of the points that Elsie made and some of that context for decisions that people made about whether to pursue justice or merely to survive and how best to survive. And sometimes that meant not raising attention or not wanting to be found by some of these agents. But in terms of the significance of the site itself and what would be devastating if the border wall was to be erected and constructed in this region, putting at risk not only the site of the massacre, but also what remains of the community of Porvenir. It would be a tragedy that's unthinkable. The site is significant also because what we know of the methods of violence that were used during La Matanza is that many people were disappeared. In that 1919 investigation, some local officials in South Texas described Mexicans being evaporated from the region. So people were arrested, and then in transport, many of them were murdered. And so actually my book opens with a story of a father trying to find the remains of his son. And so there are hundreds of families, if not thousands, that were impacted by violence, and many of them never were able to recover the remains, to have a proper burial. And it's important for families in terms of healing, because healing and repair is such a long process. It spans generations. And for the descendants of Porvenir, it's a difficult trip to make to the site or to see Porvenir, but they can do that. And if this construction continues, that would be taken away. And so, again, healing and repair is ongoing. There's been more of a local embrace of the history of Porvenir and telling the story of the massacre to local residents, to children, to the next generation, learning lessons of the past and destroying the sites also would interrupt further historical knowledge. History is not a static set of facts. Knowledge evolves, more records are found, new evidence emerges, and if the site itself is destroyed, it would stop, it would halt that, but it would also have this devastating impact of keeping descendants from the ability to travel to the site, to commemorate, to mourn, to grieve, and try to heal.
Elsie, can you describe that site to us, being there with your family, and just describe what you heard and what you felt when you were there. First of all, I understand it's a very kind of significant rock outcrop that's there. And that's where your ancestor and all the other Porvenir massacre victims, who are men and boys, were shot. Can you describe what you felt, what you saw, what you heard there when you were there with your family?
I've been to Porvenir several times. The first time I went with my grandfather, Juan Bonilla Flores, and my mother and my father, Evaristo Benito Alvarado, the picture I sent you of my grandfather, that was his first time returning back to Porvenir. And you can see that he's smiling. And we realize that Porvenir is a place that brings joy and hurt to my grandfather. And I think in that picture, for the first time in many years, he felt seen. He felt seen. And I think the last time he felt that was when his father was alive.
Did you have any sense that he was nervous when he went back? Because, you know, you hear this from, you know, veterans who go back to areas where they fought battles that left them mentally scarred, physically scarred. Did you feel that maybe your grandfather might have had that same reaction, that same hesitancy, but yet determination to go?
Yes, because when he took us to the massacre site for the first time, he was very quiet. I could sense the sadness in his face. I could feel it. I can feel that. Being silent in that moment of sharing where his father was murdered, all of a sudden he just got completely quiet. Prior to that, he was explaining to us about Borvenin, how they lived. I can sense that sadness.
I think it's interesting, Elsie, that, you know, reading about your grandfather, Juan Bonillo Flores, he was only 11 when this happened, yet he played a pretty key role in being able to know who the victims were, because he was helping identify the victims at 11 years old to another man who was there, who was writing all this down. And it was that information that helped serve as evidence, I understand, when it all came to be presented to the Texas State Legislature the following year.
Yes. Yes, he was the young boy who got on a horse and he rode all the way to Harry Warren's ranch to inform him what happened. He had to take on that role. Imagine what he was thinking of while he was riding the horse to Harry Warren. What was he thinking? He was seeking hope, but he had courage.
And it's a courage that has been carried over into the generations, because you are helping to make sure that his story does not get evaporated, to use the word that Monica was using earlier. I don't know what thoughts you have of this site now being essentially cut off from you and any other descendants who wish to visit this site. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you're reacting?
Oh, it is absolutely heartbreaking, because that area, when you travel on Chispa Road towards Borvenin, the landscape is breathtaking. It is absolutely beautiful. You feel like you're traveling back in time, and the land is so preserved. That is one of the reasons why my grandfather loved Borvenin. It's breathtaking. And for the massacre site to be destroyed, it's just heartbreaking for my grandfather, for my mother, to see it just destroyed. It's a lot. There's so much. I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's a lot of history. It's a lot of research. It goes deep. It's very deep.
I do want to thank you so much, Elsie Garcia. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your feelings and your experiences with us. Monica Munoz Martinez, always a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Elsie Garcia is a Uvalde resident and is a descendant of Longino Flores, a victim of the 1918 Porvenir Massacre, a key event in early 20th century borderlands history that drew attention to the widespread state-sanctioned violence against ethnic Mexicans in Texas. We also spoke with Monica Munoz Martinez, historian of Texas history, U.S. history, and the history of race and civil rights. Martinez is the author of The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas. She's also the co-founder of Refusing to Forget, a nonprofit formed by a group of historians dedicated to bringing attention to the Matanza and to search for justice to the known and unknown hundreds or thousands who were killed in the Texas borderlands between 1910 and 1920. The descendants of Porvenir have launched a petition asking the federal government to halt construction on the historically and archaeologically sensitive site of Porvenir. A link to it is at tpr.org. And go to tpr.org to see a picture of Elsie Garcia's grandfather, Juan Bonilla Flores, visiting Porvenir, the site where he witnessed his father's murder over 100 years ago. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. The program is produced by Marianne Navarro and Norma Martinez. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.